Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. October 6, 2019. All desires remain. It is impossible to eradicate the will to receive because it is creation itself. You can confuse yourself, get drunk, rush after one desire instead of another, extinguishing the first desire in such a way, but it is impossible to uproot a desire. I can ignore it out of fear or because of other stronger desires, but it is impossible to fight it directly. Even the reforming light does not change the desire itself, it only raises or lowers its importance. Yet, all desires remain with a person as they were given to him at birth. If a person attributes no importance to the desire, then he can as if erase it from the screen on which he sees the world. There is no other way because the entire creation is a desire. Before the convention, I expect that the European tens will establish connections with each other and with all other world groups. There should be one common virtual meeting place where everyone can meet, get information, and recharge. We need to be included in each other not only on an informative level, but also in feeling. I want to feel the friends as the organs of my body that were separated, and I must bring them closer to me. As much as I bring them closer and increase my sensitivity to them, I enliven them and begin to feel them alive, connected with me, and living within me, to that extent I build a vessel of the soul until the Creator is revealed in it. From the third part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 16th of September 2019, correction of the shattering, preparation for the Congress. The Times of Israel published my new article Rosh Hashanah, looking for a leader of the Jewish people. Israel's political mayhem after the elections comes as no surprise. The dead heat between the two main parties in Israel and the fierce deal-making to form a coalition capable of governing the country reveals the great divide within Israel's society. Why should a Jew in Manhattan, Paris or Buenos Aires care? Why should this situation be a matter of concern for the Jewish New Year? As we celebrate Rosh Hashanah, the beginning or head of the year, it is time to reflect as Jews on our connection as a people, regardless of the place where we celebrate around the dinner table. We are in the thick of a groundswell of hatred against Jews and Israel that will leave no stone unturned and no time for second guessing. Now more than ever, Israel's leadership must also lead all Jewish people, fostering unity both in the land of Israel and toward the diaspora in order to tackle the great divide between the two communities. In recent years, young Jewish Americans have experienced an increasing loss of Jewish identity, and a growing indifference toward Israel as the ancestral homeland of the Jewish people. The internal and external pressures we face as Jews every day, in every part of the world, enhance the sense of urgency of needing to come to terms with our divisions. What happens in Israel must be relevant to all Jews because even if it is not always evident to us, we share a common destiny, an invisible but indivisible link. Realizing this indivisibility and working toward unity should be the Jewish people's highest priority in order to have the strength to face today's existential threats. Our enemies make no distinction between you and me, between leftist and rightist, between religious and secular, between an Israeli Jew and an American Jew. Consequently, we need to stand side by side as one. 5,880 years to break the siege. This year, Jews all over the world felt less safe. The deadly shootings at synagogues in Pittsburgh and Poway were a major wake-up call to the anti-Semitic terrorism that can unfold at any given moment in the heart of American society. Large cities in the U.S. have also experienced a sharp spike in violent attacks against Jews. The New York Police Department registered 184 hate crimes by the end of June, targeting 110 Jews. The number of incidents almost doubled compared to 2018. In contrast, overall crimes in the city decreased to a record low. In Europe, 89% of Jews feel anti-Semitism has increased in their country over the past decade, and a similar percentage believe it to be a serious problem. Meanwhile, the economic, academic and cultural boycotts against Israel, known as the BDS, are expanding around the globe. Therefore, whoever will govern the country must understand that a weaker Israel and a widening gap between Israel and the diaspora will only increase threats against us and anti-Semitism throughout the world. As reality has proven to us time and again, and as history shows, when we are divided, our enemies rise against us. As we head into the new year, we must finally be ready to reverse that fate for good. A change for the better. Rosh Hashanah comes from the Hebrew words, Rosh Hashanui, the beginning of change. It symbolizes our aspiration to acquire higher values, benevolence, sharing, and caring for each other. All of our Jewish festivals symbolize milestones along the path of our transformation of the evil inclination, namely egoism, to altruism, to love your neighbor as yourself. The Rosh Hashanah tradition to eat a fish's head symbolizes our decision to be at the forefront, not the tail, leading ourselves and others toward unity. The pomegranate we serve at this time of the year, with its numerous juicy seeds, reminds us that we, too, are like seeds, that it is time for us to ripen spiritually through unity. The seeds also represent our egoistic desires, which we want to learn how to use in a more balanced way, for the sake of others rather than selfishly, realizing our aspirations through our many contributions to society. The meaning of the apple we eat at Rosh Hashanah is the primordial transgression of self-centeredness. We dip it in honey to symbolize its sweetening, correction, through our re-established care for others. To achieve this state and rekindle our brotherly love, we have to rise above our egoism, balancing it with its opposite altruistic force by establishing positive connections between us. The head, not the tail. Let's consider further the symbolism of the fish's head in the Jewish New Year customs. Israel and the diaspora need leadership that will also take care of our younger generation, which is losing grip on its traditions. What kinds of actions should be taken toward this end? First and foremost, an educational framework needs to be established that explains the following essential questions. What does being a Jew mean? To be one who works to unite all separate parts of humanity into one whole. Who is Israel? It is those who embody the meaning of the word Yasharkel, those who go straight to the Creator as the unifying power in reality. What is the land of Israel? It's the path of common purpose between us. What is the role of the Jewish people? It is to be a light unto the nations. That is, to give an example of unity to the world. We need to work in close cooperation with representatives of world Jewry, even if their views seem completely opposite, and to take into consideration their perspectives in Israel's policy-making process. It is important for us to find a common language and to work in mutual guarantee, avut, with one another. The leadership Israel requires is one that will show how crucial it is for all of us, without exception, to connect, to be as one man with one heart, and to give the world the key to attaining that unity. The Jewish people require leadership that will let every Jew live safely in the country of his birth and to open its doors to every Jew in times of trouble. This demand for change must begin within ourselves. It is the choice of each of us to transform our state of separation to one of cohesion, for with the change of state also comes the transformation from insecurity to safety. And there is no more beautiful time to start realizing the power of our unity than now, around the Rosh Hashanah festive table. We are of many different ages, tastes, backgrounds, ideas and points of view, but we should not try to change or erase any of that. On the contrary, our uniqueness is the treasure that each brings to the world. We should preserve our differences, rise above them, and cover them with mutual love and respect like the white cloth that covers the festive table. This is our special family recipe for a rounded and sweet life, and for a promising future as a nation. Let's raise our glasses of wine and make a toast to our unity. Happy Rosh Hashanah! Blitz of Kabbalah Tips, May 12, 2019. Question: you have been on the path of correction for so many years. Can you say that you are a free person? Answer: I don't know if there is a free person in our world in the sense that you are asking the question. In fact, freedom as we understand it doesn't exist. It is possible only when you know what the truth is and can act for the sake of it. Question: to the degree that I become like the Creator, do I become free? Answer: without a doubt, because the influence of the Creator on us is the characteristic of bestowal. If you acquire it, then you understand the Creator and the Creator understands you. To this degree you become free from both your egoism and the influence of the environment. Question: does a degree of freedom exist as a state of freedom against the violence and coercion by the desires of another person or group of people? Answer: no, we almost always are affected by other people. The whole question is which society I should situate myself in. If I put myself in a society that is advancing toward the right goal, submit to it, and obey it, then this is how I attain that goal. That is how we must realize our freedom. Question: what is the difference between freedom of choice and free will? Answer: free will consists of choosing how to behave. Freedom of choice is the choice itself. Question: from the point of view of Kabbalah, how accurate is Hegel's postulate that freedom is a conscious necessity? Answer: this is purely a small materialistic misconception. Question: are all the thoughts, desires and actions I perform generated by the Creator? Answer: right now, yes, but when you begin to acquire a Masach screen, then the Creator will not do what he wants within you. Instead, you will do what you want with the Creator. Question: everyone has his own personality. What is it? Answer: the personality doesn't bother us. All the same, you are carrying out your egoistic demands. So it doesn't matter what your personality is. One person loves to eat, the second one likes to dance, a third wants to sleep. What difference does that make? In every case you are carrying out your desires. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, May 12, 2019. New Life number 245. An Integral Education Course, Part 1.
Hello and welcome to the New Life Educational Series with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we want to learn with you how to be happier, not in a philosophical, abstract way, but at the most practical level, how to take our life. And apparently we're going to have to learn how to do this, to take our life to a higher place, a happier place. Today we'll try to package everything that we spoke about in the other talks about happiness into a real organized format of an integral happiness course. Take paper and pen. You're going to have a lot of things to write down. Tal, we're with you. Today we all actually reached a course where we're going to implement, where we're going to learn the practical methods for everything we got along the way. We want this course that we're going to go through. It's going to include all kinds of aspects of our lives. We'll teach us how to be happy in all the realms of our lives. And along with me and Oren, there's six other people sitting with us in the course today. One of them is a young girl who just got out of the army. She has her whole life ahead of her. She wants to know how to plan her life properly to be happy. We have a wife of a successful businessman. She has everything. She has money. She has a house, but she wants to know how to be happy. We have someone who has a chronic disease, and he wants to know how to be happy even though he might die. We have a woman whose husband died not so long ago. She's very lonely, and she's full of pain, missing her partner, and she wants to see if she can find happiness again here. We also have an average person that works in customer service. He has work, he relations with the family, but he's not satisfied in life. But we also have an elderly person who feels that he missed his opportunity to be happy but wants to implement it now in the time that he has left. So we're all here together. We all come with different expectations, different goals, but one thing we all have in common, we all want to be happy. We tried lots of things that didn't succeed. We're not giving up, but we feel that we're missing something. So we came to you today to the course, and first of all, we want to know what we're going to go through in this course, what's the process, what change we're going to go through that will help us to finally be truly happy. Okay, I heard you. We need to learn from simple things in life. When is a person happy? What person can you point to that's happy? Apart from kids, that's already true. The child that feels himself in his mother's hands, that's supplying him with what he needs and warming the baby with his heart. She's holding him next to her. He's happy, right? In other words, a person by nature feels happiness when he feels love. From simple nature. Also at the most difficult moments, when we finish our life, when we have serious diseases in the middle of life, or when, God forbid, something happens to us, which somebody shows us love, it's this emotional participation at least, then we feel a great relief and even happiness. What do we yearn for when we look for a partner also? In happiness, in our regular life, meaning love. And it's not for nothing. The Torah also tells us the same thing. That what the Creator recommends to the creatures is to reach love. That it will actually be a conclusion of everything that a person will go through in this life. He needs to reach love. Love thy neighbor as thyself. We know that the upper force is good and benevolent. It has no deficiencies or frustrations that he has to fill, but rather he's completely to bestow. Therefore, he recommends to us, you want to feel good? I want to bestow good to you. So please start getting closer to love. Love between you and love between us. Between you and me. And then you'll feel good. In other words, to feel happy, it means to feel loved and loving. Of course, we're not exactly built for that. We have an egoistic nature that burns inside us. And this is so that we will consciously and with awareness in a certain manner, consistent manner, will reach what's called love. That will also verify what love is. We don't know. A baby is happy on his mother's arms, but in order to verify what I can give to others, what others can give us, we're here precisely in the opposite manner, an opposite anti-love connection that each person has a demand from the other, and rejection from the other, disregarding the other, and all those things we need to understand. They're all burning between us So that we'll see from there precisely, and we'll treat them, and then we'll see all the different parts of that relation called love, and we'll build this relation between us. Love from these things, because it's very clear how much I hate and what I don't like and what's not the way I want and how much the other person wants to put us down and how much I want to reject them. And in hatred and rejection, in our ego, we have a lot of different tastes. But in love, there's nothing. You can see in music, in theater, drama, and something serious where things are on fire, internal fires. I have tons to say. And there's a comedy, it's something easy, people are laughing. You look at it, you laugh a little bit, and that's it. It's not for serious people. Love has no foundation in our life. It appears to us as something, if a boy and a girl and it passes, it's not love. It's if there wasn't this sexual attraction, there wouldn't be an emotional connection which it's based on. It's not love. We understand that. It's something that we have to develop above our hatred and greed and all those things. All those attributes and inclinations are negative inclinations. If we look at them as blocks from which we can build, we build our attitude toward love. And it's not for nothing that humanity, at the end of its development, it wants to be happy. That nothing actually doesn't allow a person to live. We need, of course, to supply ourselves with corporal things. But the younger generation is already saying it according to research. They're saying we don't need to go climb on mountains, to fly to space, to jump to the depths of the ocean. We don't want to be big managers. We just want to be happy. And this will promise us, this will give us food, these necessary things for the body, and that's the main thing. We don't need anything more than that. And the same thing with our kids. We also say, you don't have to be big, something great, just be happy. And we need to understand that love is happiness is the feeling of love, that someone loves me and that I love them. That it's mutual. Between me and everyone. Because if there's hatred somewhere, it already ruins it, because I have to forget it, I want to get away from it. But if we're talking about true, genuine, 100% happiness, the real thing, unconditional love without any limit. And there's nothing here that's dependent on something. There's something they give me and something I give. It's not love that's built on sex or some other interest or some closeness, but simply love that I love because he loves me. There's not even an explanation. This is the situation that from inside, subconsciously, we're yearning to reach. Just like, again, with a mother to her baby. He loves her because he's a little creature and he's dependent on her, and she actually loves him because he's hers and comes out of her body. But still, there's natural love here. With us, when we develop love, it's not natural, it's anti-natural. Over all the rejections and hatred, and but we want to reach the same situation, that it will really be natural. That he's mine and I'm his, and I can say that to anyone. And I'm talking about a person. I'm not talking about a man or a woman, old, young, black, yellow, white. Doesn't matter. And this is how it needs to be. And the beginning of this demand of happiness that awakens now in the human race, this demand is a very special sign that we've already reached our obligation for implementing the love between us. We're starting the correction phase of the human race from hatred to love. And if we pay attention, then the whole Torah speaks of this. Love thy neighbor as thyself. All of Israel are friends. Everyone has to be special. Everyone has to be as brothers. There's other passages. The Torah, which is also the method of correcting a person that has to bring a person to some special height, entirely deals with love thy neighbor as thyself, which is the law of the entire Torah. It's the end of the path of the development of a person through the Torah. And it's also written, I created the evil inclination that is burning between us as our ego, and I made the solution, the light that redeems us. There's also a special power in the Torah. What does it do? It passes a person from the feeling of hatred to love, meaning to bring him to happiness. If this is how we look at all our things, then it's clear to us that our goal is love. So then we need to learn what a person is, what his nature is. We need to understand in detail what's greed, jealousy, respect, control, etc., all those negative things. Where does the person get anxiety, fears, frustrations, desperation from? Helplessness. Where do people get diseases from? Also in their body and also in their spirit, mentally. Where do all these things that go wrong in the body, where does it come from? And development, the development of these desires, our ego, how we would run after happiness. But until we found this word today, happiness, and afterward love, we used to think happiness was in family, food, sex only, money, respect, knowledge. But now we're going above it, and we're saying we need that because we were humans. We need to feel like that. But at the level of existence, we see that it doesn't help us. We feel desperate. The younger generation doesn't want anything. They want to feel connected. They want to sit in a coffee shop and talk. They don't want to feel obligated. They want to feel comfortable and a good vibe. That's their inclination. We feel that after all our linguistic development for thousands of years, humanity is finally reaching the understanding what it really needs. They still haven't verified it till the end, but the final phase is opened. So what are we actually going to go through in the course? In what way can we reach this perfect situation? We'll learn to reach love. How do you do that? The course is simple. If we reach a situation of love thy neighbor as thyself, maybe we don't need to talk in slogans like that because it might turn people off. It may be obligating them that you have to love them. But actually, we need to teach them how to love others and receive love from our fellow man. How to awaken love from my fellow man toward me, and how I can love my fellow man so that they'll feel love. How I can open his heart and my heart in such a way that our hearts will feel this common warmth. I think there's a course out there today to learn this, so it already sounds interesting. What's the difference that we'll have to go through, the change in the course? Is it our perception? Is it our values? It's a very big change. First of all, we need to understand that we need to change in a significant way. We need to change our paradigm completely. We need to understand that in this course we have to open something very new that's not accepted in society, because there's many groups in society that can say we love each other, we call for love of our fellow man, but apart from these nice words, we, of course, it's not being done. Religions are dealing with it, with talking about love in all kinds of forms that each of them apparently speaks about. It's politicians and stuff. We here need to verify what's special about this term love that we're teaching. In other words, our students have a special process that they need to go through in order to begin to feel what we're talking about. And to start to agree with us, it's not simple. But to get the good things, the excellent things from the human development, and that are necessary, that without them we won't reach anything, and to see that not only from the side of the Torah, not only from the side of our life of babies talking there, but that all of nature at the end of the day is directing us toward this in our development and in all our evolution. This is the last stage, the perfect stage that we need to reach. In other words, there's an explanation here, meaning knowledge and education. And in that we need to make an effort to explain and also educate people. It's a process they need to go through. We need to explain to them what it's called in our material, in our attributes, what this phenomenon is that's called love. It's some kind of connection of different acids in the body, or hormones, or is it plus and minus forces that exist inside us? When is it called love? That altogether, when I fill the other person mechanically and he fills me, that we put a spoon into each other's mouth. What's happening here? Here we need to verify at what height of the relations between us, of give and take, in what exactly give and take, in the connection between us, we can talk about love, meaning it's some kind of special level of relations, the highest level. How does it happen exactly in our awareness, in our body, in our social relationships? On what can we build even this attribute that will connect us and fill the space between us? There's a lot of learning here that we can give. But at the end of the day, when we talk about it, we'll talk about the amount of desires in a person, the five desires, the root and A, B, C, D, E. The root A, B, C, D, that at each desire we start working with it for the sake of our fellow man, meaning outside of me, toward my fellow man, so I can feel the certain extent of love. We can call it nefesh, or we can call it the 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 levels of love of our attitude toward our fellow man. We can measure love against that previous hatred that we had, how much I'm going from rejection to attraction, etc. Are there stages? There's another problem, that it's a study how to implement these things. How I transition from the negative side, from my negative attitude to a person, toward my positive attitude. And then we have a group that we need to, first of all, implement there the love. Love in this case is called love of friends. And then what do we need to do to reach love of friends? Do we need to cancel our ego? Do we need to cancel all kinds of things that I want to receive from them in an egoistic manner, to use them, to take advantage of them? And how instead of that, I need to relate to them with love, with filling, looking for what's missing for everyone, which presence. Because presents you give to whoever you love. We're not talking about basic necessities, but rather I'm looking for how I can express my love, that my love is above what he's missing, that he's not missing anything. So how can I still somehow please him? And then I search how. And then I need to reveal mutuality with him, like he gives me, I need to give him. And then in this manner, this is the only way we can implement the love. Otherwise, our love is, it disappears. It has no fuel. It can't be on fire between us. So when we start to connect with each other, and when we start to understand that I need to reach a place where I give another person the opportunity to bestow to me, and he gives me the opportunity to bestow to him to the extent that it makes me happy. And more and more. There's a sea of things, an ocean of things. Everything that we reached in the development up till today, it's being revealed, and we're implementing it at this level, this final level of the human development. So as I understand it, as I understand nature, I understand that nature, from today onward, from this period onward, which is called the last generation, is a generation of love. It's a generation that's searching for happiness and discovering that true happiness is unconditional love. So truly, in order to begin to implement this stage in our development, we want to understand how this course will look. Will there be phases? We talked about knowledge and some kind of implementation. Do we need to go through something at the beginning, the end, the middle? First of all, we need to build the course, not hard material and easy material. We have a problem that a person has to get used to these discernments. He has to feel them, meaning the course has to be, There has to be the knowledge part and the education part at the same time. In the knowledge part, like we said, we have to explain man's nature, the development of nature, the format of our desire from zero to four, how people use them for our sake, for our fellow man's sake, etc. To make a long story short, our psychology, even though it's materialistic, but beyond that, because we're bringing very big means, we can explain precisely what a person's desire is that operates us, how we can implement our desires, what we usually use, what we don't use, the shame. On the one hand, we have a desire to receive, to enjoy, and on the other hand, it's very limited because apart from us, wanting to use our will to receive, against that we have things stopping us. It can jump on another creature and eat it. A fox isn't ashamed. It runs after something and hunts it and eats it. But even though we want to do something bad to someone, we hide and we do it in a way as if it's not pleasant for us to do it, that we're taking advantage of others. We need to explain all these things. We need to go sit down and see what man's nature is, the regular nature, first of all. First, man's nature, and second of all, our development until now, from the monkey until the last period, the development of society, of human society, in accordance with the person in it. And the development, the technological, industrial development, cultural, educational, everything that man developed as also as a result of the development of the desires in him throughout this whole evolutionary path. This is actually what we need to explain. To add to that, workshops, getting to know people, who I am, what I am, before we begin changing, that it will be clear to everyone who I am, what I am. And after it's clear to me, after that stage, I'm not dividing it up exactly to lessons, workshops, meetings. The main things. And after that, we have the recognition of evil. That's the last phase that we've reached in our development, that we feel that with everything we have, we feel low, we're not successful, we're not happy, and we're really desperate. We feel this general crisis also. It's not a technological or a financial crisis. It's a crisis inside a person that used to search for happiness in all kinds of ways and didn't find it. And inside the happiness, we can say that he used to search for love, even unconsciously. And so in this modern society that's not completely not built for it, just the opposite. He began to develop all kinds of networks for communication and that are helpmate. They reveal to us that we've reached connections, all kinds of unlimited connections, but we're not getting the correct connection out of that. that actually this whole virtual connection is empty. I have the ability to connect with everyone in any way I want, but I have nothing to pass on to him and I have nothing to receive from them. It's all empty formats that we pass on to each other. This is the recognition of evil. And that the situation is a final situation. That we don't have in our power the ability to do anything with our egoistic nature and this development. There's movies that are very scary, scary Hollywood movies about the future. That everything's a bit overblown, but that we're not capable of fixing our nature. And therefore, what humanity in our situation now, in the meantime, is either closing its eyes or searching how we can somehow lighten our situation to stop it somehow or to confuse those few billion people in all kinds of ways, to give them marijuana, to do all kinds of games, stuff to pass the time, to go see stuff. But our egoistic nature is developing in the meantime and is no longer finding in all these pastimes content, even the slightest bit of filling. And then, if once upon a time I went abroad, I went on trips, I went to the theater and all kinds of things. Today, I don't have a desire for that. What can I do? And what do you have a desire for? I have nothing. My desire is awakening to the next stage, to the emotional development with people, and that's a virtual thing. Not virtual, I'd say it's spiritual, meaning that it doesn't exist in our nature, that it exists at the level above our nature, but my desire is already from there, it's there, above me, but I don't know where it is, and therefore I'm empty. So it turns out that all kinds of technologies that developed, social, they will be like that to confuse a person, to lower our profile, lower our demands, and make him... We're private people who want to be happy. It's important for us to understand this whole global process. I think it is. I think it is. It's in our obligation to give them a great basis, because throughout the course, they will ask themselves questions, and they need to know that we spoke about it, there's material about it, links. Please, you can go in and take it off the internet. Or even from our book that we'll give to everyone. So we've reached the stage of evil inclination, we understood the general crisis, and then we begin reaching the means for correcting our evil inclination to reach good. And the means is that same power that we're discovering in the connection between us and the effort we make to connect. That if we're sitting together, and it doesn't matter who we are, what we are, how well we know each other, it's enough for us to know names or give numbers to each other to such an extent, we can even do it anonymously, if from there, because truly what we're going to do now, why am I saying it anonymously and numbers everyone should get, because it doesn't matter to me who you are, what you are, or who he is, or you're a man or a woman. Nothing, nothing matters. What's important to us is to build our relations so that they'll be at the same upper level where our desire is. And then with the forces of our ego, we won't be able to reach it to implement it. We'll be able to reach it. And therefore, I don't care about your lives, who you are, anything. Just now, we are starting between us to build a new form of relations in agreement, in completion, in helping, mutual help, in mutual consideration, in mutual appreciation, in mutual respect. And the goal that we want to develop between us is the most important. The goal is that we'll become one desire in one heart between us, between everyone. Not everyone goes into one person who's the teacher. It can be a bad. No, there's no teachers. Everyone's equal. All of us, no matter what, we're all equal, and we need to build between us a field of love, a warm, a mutual feeling that won't be dependent on anything, only in this feeling, in which, in this field, we will truly feel that it's a blessed place, this field. How is it blessed? That there we find pleasure, the filling. There we feel disconnected from everything happening to us in this world. We want to always be in this feeling, to experience it and develop it more and more. Afterward, we'll speak about the stages of development from this lowest level of the attitude between us and until we reach complete unconditional love. Is there a real technique? There's a simple technique, not simple, but it's like physics. Truly, there's absolute laws that exist, that we built. It's not some feeling and I'm flying. We're teaching them the technique. For example, we spoke about doing a workshop while learning the theoretical material. We want to do workshops about recognition of evil. That's also workshops. That each and every phase, that each and every item, includes something. We do a workshop and we verify it, and maybe not once, maybe a few times. Maybe we need a few stages of talking and workshop. We need a few lessons. In other words, when I reach a happiness course, the first thing I do, I get general information about the process, and I also start to sit in the workshop with other people, and there's like a technique that you say that I need to learn from beginning to end. It's all a technique, because since we're talking about a person, and we're building everything from the current person. So first of all, we need to know what we're dealing with, what the current person is, and afterward, how we make something out of him. So what are the principles leading a workshop like that? Let's say I want to build this workshop. Inside the workshop, we explain the principles, why we have the special principles in the workshop. Okay. What are these principles, if we're going to open it up? What we know. Yes, what we know. And apart from that, we're always talking about it and strengthening those principles from the study itself. So we start to understand through the study why we have such principles, why they have to be in mutuality, in good relations, to speak nicely, relate nicely, and precisely the opposite of what's usual. And I don't want to talk to him, and I do want to talk to him. Why do I have to relate to each person in a nice way? And more and more. At the beginning, we teach it to them as a covenant, that we don't even start the first lesson without it as procedures. But gradually, they get an explanation. So why in our procedures do we have such conditions? You said we need to start in a workshop to understand who I am, what I am, and human nature, the desire to receive, and how it works. So now this group of people, first of all, we've come to like an experiment meeting. And in this meeting, we wanted to understand what differentiates your approach from other happiness courses. I want to get some perceptions why I should remain precisely in this course, what's special about it, why it's worth it for me to remain here. This comes actually from the other half that we begin to build between us, the field of love. That in that, a person taking part understands that he's reaching implementation, that like he was promised, he's going to now go build such relations that will bring him happiness in the form of love. Because happiness is just a feeling. I'm happy, that's it. But the form that I'm happy is love. And again, like we spoke about it, this form, we get this form from like a baby, from an old person, from a person who's suffering, who's lacking something. And this is what we're attracted to. And all kinds of forms of our desire that feels itself hurt, it has to, that feels bad, that is scared, etc. Meaning why, when I feel that I really demand, that I'm missing something, I'm looking for the maximum love, because then I'm sure I can be sick on my bed. If there's people around me that love me, God forbid, I can be a little baby. I can just be a person who doesn't have anything in life, that lost everything, all kinds of things. There's an attitude called love that saves me. So what is going to happen to me throughout the course? What kind of person will I be at the end? Today I know myself. I'm going to go through something very significant. So what will I be like? This we need to understand, that we are obligated to teach a person how to be happy. That we verify throughout history, you can be happy from getting hit, from slavery, from all kinds of forms of life that they had in the Middle Ages, the life of the righteousness that Charlie Chaplin explained, or the 20th century, where we look for it in two wars, or a situation now that we're fed up with all the situations. Doesn't matter what you gave me, I can be on like an island on my own in the middle of the ocean, and everything's beautiful and tropical, and I'm on a couch on the beach, and around me there's people who want to serve me. And I will feel that I'm missing something, that I'm empty. Meaning our desire to develop a soul, that I have no ability to fill myself. How do I reach a situation like that? Once upon a time, 50 years ago, I used to lie down and look at the ocean, and there was like juice or something, mango juice, and I was happy. People around me were happy to give me everything. I would go to Broadway in a car, and everyone would look. But no. It passes through them, and our desire grows bigger than this, and I don't see in our world, in all these artificial approaches, how I can fill myself. Not money, not respect, not science, not food, not sex in the family. I never imagined myself, I'm already almost 70 years old, I never imagined that a person would be able to fill himself with food, family, and sex, which is usual. And I hear now that people aren't really attracted to that anymore, that it's passing. Or 30 or 40 years ago even, it's good to eat, and today we also do all kinds of, on all the TV channels we have all different kinds of food, sex, whatever you give a person, whatever you want, there's research on it. That they say, no, people don't want it. Of course it's our nature changing. It's not that I determine or don't determine. All kinds of incentives. Family, we see nobody wants to get married or bring kids into the world. From Japan to the States, from above, downward. We see in Asia, people used to have 7 or 8 kids, and now they only have 2 or 3 kids. They're starting negative demographics now, not multiplying anymore. So we see money. Money we see, it's the next stage. Money, respect, the science. Because money, meaning being happy from money, you don't feel the happiness. And that it's now starting to get into a special, it's now starting to get into a special situation that's going to blow up. Now, respect, transparency. We see that all the people that had honesty and how they end up their lives. Terrible humiliation. Nobody listens to them. Nobody looks at them as someone important. Just the opposite. Whoever reaches there, it's a sign that it's the worst possible egoistic person. Takes advantage of everyone, etc. Meaning it's not life to be there. It's clear to everyone down below that we're going to, this is how we see it now, science. It's at a dead end. We're going to discover some partial part of a cell or something like that. But at the end of the day, we see from all this that a person is not happy. We see that this is in a space. Mars, the moon. This planet is enough for us. We don't know what's below us. What are we running off for? Meaning a person sees that he doesn't have, he's like a baby, he's like a little boy. With what can I play to fill myself? And this is the problem. What's usually done throughout history until we developed, we used to make wars. We used to reduce ourselves from a certain level of happiness, money, sex, even food. We would lower ourselves to the survival level of food, and then a person gets a good shake-up, and he has no point but to think about the purpose of life. We reached a place where today, to be in really serious, so therefore I don't feel it was part of the plan of creation, but it's possible. That's truly very drastic situations, but usually we don't see that a person can be happy if he doesn't rise above the home. If you don't, for love, because everything that we have, respect, money, food, sex, all those things, we can receive the correct expression, all of them together, in our relation that's called love. All this we're going to tell the people, not an experience, so just giving you a perspective like this, a panorama. We want to know why we need to be precisely in this course and how much effort do we need to put into it to change our daily schedule. Nothing can be done by force. We can't do anything with our own power. Only involuntarily, only in singing, want to do it, and it's not a course we have to sit and study and then take tests, and God forbid someone didn't do this. But just the complete opposite. There's no homework.
Mm-hmm.
To hear music at home, some songs, and that's it. Can you promise us that at the end of the course we'll be happy if you listen to me? Meaning not to be passive during this course. Yes. And will this course help our society succeed? Will we be happier people? It will give us some kind of advantage. First of all, you came to me to enjoy. Did you come to me to feel happiness, or we don't always know what happiness is? Or did you feel to come fulfilled? Because each person can. Say a person wants to succeed in his profession to be a manager. A woman must succeed in being a movie star. A person wants to get a degree or something. A person wants to know how to treat children so they'll be as successful as possible. So I can just say one thing from the entire course. You'll be able to get powers out of them that they will give you understanding, if you, it will give you energy to implement things in the perfect manner, in complete harmony with a perfect relation to Jerusalem. Everything they'll be able to implement themselves and from the environment toward you, do it, because the attitude of love opens up all the doors in the normal relations between people, and therefore you'll feel in that how much you have, how many opportunities you have, abilities, understandings to do. To build the puzzle of life in a new manner. So will our lives change after this course as a result of it? Yes. But it's all going to change to good, to love. It includes health and family relations and children relations and the success at work, all kinds of things. In that you're opening new channels inside of you of the connection between you and the whole world. We're talking about how we live inside the smartphone today and the person feels comfortable there, he doesn't want anything else. So can this course help me with this? Can I just hook it up to my smartphone? Start to feel the wide world, the world with of opportunities, of the correct connection to the correct unity, to rise upward, to rise in the communication up until the height of our development, where there's no limit, because a person that begins to develop this inner connection, this thing called love, like as if to see from this moment on, when he begins to work on the connection between him and other people at this level, he begins to see more development, more new evolution. When we look at ourselves, we think, okay, the world is over. That there's nothing left to do. That we're in some transition. There has to be some breakage to go from state to state. And here's where we discover it. And it's a long path with, we have the means for implementing it and we have the goal. So how can I learn to enjoy life quickly? Another thing that many of us feel is the pressure in our life. We're very pressurized. How will this course help me get rid of these pressures? What kind of influences do I have if I'm with people from... It's the opposite. It's freedom. There's no limitations. But we must learn how to do it. And this learning requires from us attention and maintenance, maintaining the rules, and to be organized. This sounds interesting. I'm already ready to sign up to the course, and the next show will give some more details about the phases and the principles of the course. Oren, will you sum things up? I thought we're going to go build a space of love between us that will fill our hearts in its deepest, deepest place. And that this goal will not be artificial, but it's coming from the entire development of man, from the little person and right up to when he dies, and all our evolution, everything develops toward that. Thank you very, very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Be with us in the continuation, the happiness course. Until next time, new life.